Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of our Montessori Babies podcast. Today's episode is a really, really fun one. I'm so excited for it. It is inspired by a TikTok trend that I saw, actually. And this trend is essentially where people would share things that they would or wouldn't do within their profession. And I was finding that I was learning so much about just this huge wide variety of topics from this trend. And so I thought I would hop on it, but in podcast form. So today we're going to be talking about 5 things that I would not do as a Montessori babies expert. So I do want to start with our quote for today, but first I want to just touch on the idea that you are your baby's first teacher. So their parent is their baby's first teacher. They're their first educator, right? They're their first experiences. Baby is always learning. You're making those million mental connections per second. So all of these interactions that we have with them, just the simple day-to-day stuff that we do with our baby, this is all their earliest educational experience, right? They're learning about their world. They're learning about who they are to their world, who the world is to them, based off of what's going on in these earliest moments. And so that's why I like to encourage all of you amazing parents to really have the idea that you are also their first teacher, right? You're their earliest and really most important teacher. So with that in mind, I want to segue into our quote for today. And that quote is, "The teacher has 2 tasks, to lead the children to concentration and to help them in their development afterwards." I thought this quote was just so, so perfect for today because I'm going to be offering some tools that I have as someone who has worked as a teacher with infants in the field, but also is now implementing at home with my baby. And so keeping these ideas in mind is something that I do frequently, right? So let's go ahead and hop into our first point. So one thing that I wouldn't do as a Montessori babies expert, as someone who's studied development, Montessori, and who's worked with babies and parents for a very long time now, one thing that I try not to do, which may be a surprise to you actually, is I try not to talk about my baby in front of my baby. So instead, what I try to do is include them in the conversation as I would any, you know, other older child or even adult, right? And this is something I learned about in the classroom setting. The reason is because I want the child to feel included and empowered within the conversation. And a lot of times we assume that babies don't understand. And by that, we mean, you know, they already know, right? So when we say, oh, they don't understand, what we're thinking is they don't already know about these concepts and these words and the interaction that's happening. But what I like to think about is that they're learning about it, right? So even though they don't understand necessarily what is happening in this moment to the full extent of what is happening, they are in the process of understanding, right? And so if our end goal is we want them to feel included in conversation and that community, you know, experience, then let's include them from the start, right? As they're learning about what their role is. So who they are to the world and who the world is to them. So for example, you know, when we say something like, why is he crying like this when we're holding our baby? You know, we're talking to our partner and, you know, it's just one of those moments where baby's crying. We can shift that to a, you know, what are these tears for? Or something of the sort. So we're connecting with baby, but also just trying to figure out what's going on. Mind you, there are times where you're going to say something like, why is he crying like this? Or why is she crying like this? And so it's also perfectly wonderful to combine the two. And I will say that there are just some times where it's really more awkward to include them in the conversation. So like at the doctor's office, for example, when your pediatrician's asking about your baby and stuff like that. But in these moments, for example, the other day, my friend and I were sitting at our dining table and my son was on her lap. So he was sitting across from me and we were talking about his sleeping habits. and how we've had a couple nights where he slept through the night. And so she asked me how he's doing, and I said, oh, you know, he's doing wonderfully. And then I looked at him and I said something like, you've been sleeping through the night, huh? Doesn't it feel so great to wake up feeling so rested? And he looked at me and he got so stimulated, his eyes opened up so wide, and then his arms and legs started going in that just wonderful baby stimulation. He gave his vocal cool response. So he right now is very vocal, and he just started going, you know. And then my friend also answered him. So she felt, you know, empowered to include him, you know, as well. And it was just a really amazing experience, you know. So just stuff like that, where whenever possible, I try to include him as much in the conversations. And to be honest, you know, as I just gave that example of the pediatrician's office, I'm doing very similar things that I just mentioned. You know, when my pediatrician asks about, you know, how he's doing in all of the various areas of his life, I'm usually doing the same exact thing that I just did with my friend. So I'm just kind of always including him. And what I'm noticing is that it's really supporting that inner drive to express within him. So yeah, so it's just really amazing to see how such, you know, simple shifts in our approach, just these tiny little things that we can include in our day, little approaches, can be so amazing for baby's development. So in this case, it's great for language, that back and forth experience, the connection. But then, you know, the idea is they're starting to learn how they're just like us, right? They're another human who is respected and included in the conversation and a part of their community. And, you know, this is a super Montessori idea. So to have that empowered child within their community. And so when we do this in infancy, we're laying, you know, just a wonderful foundation for later on. So that's the first point. So the second thing that I wouldn't necessarily do as a Montessori babies expert is to surround baby with a bunch of toys to entertain them. So there's a couple reasons for this. The main thing is that if we think about how our babies are constantly learning about, you know, their world, right? They're little scientists. If we're honing in on something like concentration or interest, it's actually a lot more beneficial to introduce something and then see if it draws baby's attention and then let them explore it. So whether or not you're giving, you know, a formal Montessori lesson or offering them a, you know, a Montessori material, even if it's more of, you know, a standard toy, I would see if it draws baby's interest, and then I would give them that one toy to explore. So they're already driven by that interest, and then I would let them continue to use that drive to explore the material. Then once they no longer show any interest in it when they're all done, and this is going to look different for depending on the age of your baby. So, you know, our young babies will start to just kind of look away, or maybe they'll start to whine a little bit when they're done, you know, exploring a material. You know, they're bored, they're ready for the next thing. Our older babies, so our crawling babies, our cruising babies, and our walking babies, they'll probably just move on. They'll move their bodies on to the next thing, you know, or they'll come over to you, or whatever makes sense for them in that moment. But essentially, I want to focus on one thing at a time, because it's amazing for their development of concentration, for continuing to support that inner will to learn about their world, which is one of the main goals, right, in Montessori, is to continue to support that inner drive. And then on the flip side, when you think about when, you know, a baby's surrounded by a bunch of toys, so say, you know, they're sitting on the floor and we give them a whole bunch of things to play with, they're little scientists, right? So they're going to quickly jump from toy to toy to try to explore because there's so much going on, you know, and for some babies, they do navigate it. They're just, you know, going from toy to toy to toy and they're exploring, or maybe they'll use one and they'll just like throw it to the side and then kind of grab another. And that's because of what they are. They're little scientists, right? They're just going to be so excited by all of these different materials and toys around them, but also because of their mind, it can be quite overstimulating, right? So if we think about it like that, and our goal is to, for example, hone in on that inner will, hone in on that development of concentration, then what we can do is just to use that interest to drive that learning experience with the one material and then rotate the other materials in as they're done with that. So we can show them how to put it back, you know, on their Montessori shelf, or if you have a basket out, or however you're storing their materials, when they're done with it, you can say, oh, you know, this shows me you're all done. Let's put it back, you know, and then grab another one if they're a non-mobile baby, or if they're a mobile baby, then we show them how to put it back and then they can drive themselves again to the material shelf and use that inner will to explore, you know, whatever materials draw them in. I will say too that this is a very developmental concept as well. When I was studying in child development, that's one of the ideas that was fluid through the Montessori pedagogy. So the Montessori information that I had learned, as well as the child development information that I had learned, and the research and the theories and all of that. So essentially, the idea that less is more when it comes to development, it rings very true. So that's the second point. The third point, something that I would never do is compare my baby to other babies. And I know that this is super hard not to do, especially when, you know, all of us as parents are really excited about, you know, how our babies grow and develop and their firsts and all of that. But I also know that it's easy to get discouraged if, you know, for example, my baby isn't, you know, sitting yet and the other 6-month-old baby is sitting, or my baby hasn't started saying their first words yet and my cousin's baby has, you know, said three. Those types of things. Something I want you to keep in mind, just having worked with hundreds of babies over the last decade and some change, is that every baby's journey is so different. But they all will eventually grow and develop and, you know, get there. And so, whatever the timing is for your baby, that's the most perfect timing for your child. What I'm saying is that every child has their own really, really beautiful journey, and we're just here to support them on it, you know, so they can reveal themselves to us through their experiences, and we can just give them our very best to help them along the way. So the fourth thing that I wouldn't do as a Montessori babies expert is to expect my baby to do a lesson after I present it. And what I mean by this is if I have the object permanence box, for example, and I show them how to put the ball in the hole, how it comes back out, you know, my baby might grab the ball and, you know, hold it in their hand and then put it back on the tray. They might grab the ball and just hold the ball, you know. But what I would encourage you to do is just keep modeling how you would use the material. What baby's going to initially do is explore it. You know, they're going to explore the material. They're going to see what it is and how it feels, and because that's their instinct, right? And then eventually they're going to start to manipulate it. And that manipulating piece is where you'll see them trying to attempt the work. And so the more we model, the more that they will attempt to do it the way that we model. And again, it might look like, you know, them tapping the ball on the top of the object permanence box. And it might look like them dropping it around the sides. It might look like them transferring the ball from one hand to the other before they try to put it in the hole. It really just is going to depend on how this child is exploring the material and how they're manipulating it. But again, the idea is we present it so they do know how we can use it, and then they'll eventually get there in their own way. And there are definitely some times where baby will take the material and will attempt to do exactly what we just showed them, right? But what I'm saying is there's a wide range of ways that baby will try to explore this material and manipulate the material. And so if you don't see them trying to do, you know, this lesson that you just showed them right away, just know that the manipulation and the exploration of this toy is very, very, very normal for our babies. And lastly, one point that I want to touch on as far as something I would never do as a Montessori babies expert is to judge other parents or caregivers' levels of implementing Montessori. So there's a very traditional way to implement Montessori. So there's a way that you can fully set up your environment. There's a whole material progression. There's a way that you can interact. This is something, you know, that I was trained in. I was trained in the very traditional AMI approach, and I'm very familiar with it. But I also know that, you know, if you're a parent who just, you know, wants to try using some Montessori tactics to get your baby involved in their environment, so start fostering independence every step of the way as developmentally appropriate, or if you want to set up your baby's, you know, bedroom and you want the Montessori materials and the shelf and all of that, but you don't necessarily want a floor bed quite yet, a big part of child development is understanding that you definitely want to feel comfortable and confident in the approach that you're taking. And that's because when you're peaceful, baby will be peaceful. And that's a really big part of infancy. I want you to know that you have my full support in. It's that I want you to feel so confident and so empowered and ready to take the approach that works best for you and your baby and your lifestyle. You know, so I really encourage you to use observation, to reflect on yourself and on your baby and on your lifestyle and how you want that to look. If you are so interested in implementing, you know, that full Montessori approach or even pieces of it, That's exactly why I built and am teaching the Montessori Babies course. I would love to have you join us. And if you just want some introductory information, I have a great free mini course called Essentials to Beginning Montessori for Babies, and I would definitely encourage you to check that out. Both of those are linked below. But essentially, people are at various levels of understanding of the Montessori approach, right? But then also, there's different ways to implement. So one thing I'll say is, you know, even people who have the same training, the way that they interpret that information and then the way that their environments flow and stuff like that, that's going to look different from person to person, from classroom to classroom, from home to home. And so again, what I want you to do is just take the information that feels right, that settles well, and then implement. Be very consistent because our babies really thrive off that consistency and settle in a routine and an approach that feels good and feels right for your family. One thing that I just really, really love about the Montessori approach is that slower paced, simple, beautiful environments, but not chaotic, as it can sometimes feel with all of the kids' stuff around. The simplicity of the Montessori approach is also incredibly peaceful to the parent and to the caregiver. It's not as overstimulating for baby, and it's not as overstimulating for mommy or for teacher. So I just wanted to throw that in because that's one of the many things I love about it, is that it ends up being incredibly wonderful for the entire community. And so yeah, anyway, those are those five things that I would not necessarily do as a Montessori babies expert. I had a lot of fun making today's episode. Thank you so much to those who are new to our show. Welcome to our community, and thank you so much to those who have been listeners. It is so, so wonderful to have all of you. I am just so grateful and have so much fun getting to know everyone. So if you are having a lot of fun listening to our show, definitely share with your friends, your mommy friends, your friends who are pregnant, fellow caregivers, or other Montessori educators. We have a really, really wonderful growing community, and I would love to have them as part of it. So anyway, that is about it. I'm sending you guys all just a giant, giant summer's hug. And that's it. So thanks again for listening to this week's episode, and I'll catch you in our next episode. Bye. Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of Montessori Babies. If you'd like to support your baby's earliest and most important years the Montessori way, I have a totally free masterclass that teaches the 6 essential steps to begin Montessori with your baby that gives you the exact, seldomly spoken about steps that I created after over a decade working with Montessori babies, families, and caregivers. You can register via the link in our show notes or in my bio on Instagram at Baby Tour Guide. Also, if you're enjoying my podcast, I would absolutely love if you'd leave a review to help other parents and caregivers find and join our community. Thanks again for listening to Montessori Babies, and I'll catch you in our next episode. Bye!